Stacey and Jay Spoon.
At first, when you see a header to a podcast or to an interview about two men talking about Infancy Loss Awareness Day, at first you might think, hang on, why are two men talking about this? Well, I think fathers are as invested in the child as mothers aren't, and there's no reason why we can't talk about this. And we are two fathers, myself and Jay Spoo, and we are aware of the phenomenon of infancy loss. And I thought it'd be nice for two men to have this conversation. So, Jay Spoo,
yeah,
let's have the conversation. I've never experienced infancy loss. I can remember the first couple of months with my child, the doctor kept on telling us, try not to get too attached in the beginning because anything can happen. And then even after 9 months and the birth of my child, I remember the doctor saying, give it a couple of weeks before you 100% commit to this life. I thought that was crazy. I really thought this doctor has lost the plot here, because I was there for the birth of my child and I held my child. It was real and it was a connection, and she was going home safely with her mother and her father, and we had done all the prenatal and postnatal and we knew everything there was to be. There was no reason that there would be any complications here. But subsequent to that, I find out that it's not unknown. It's not so much of a small statistic for a woman to carry your child to term, and then even after the birth of your child for, you know, what they call cot syndrome, or a death of a baby even weeks or sometimes months after a successful birth. So I'm glad that there is a day put aside, Infancy Loss Awareness Day, and I'm glad that we can talk about it. And I want to talk to you, Jay Spoo, specifically about it, because you have experienced this firsthand. So let's go straight into it. When this was your...
My firstborn, his name was Usmanga. It was back in 2016. And Darren, I suppose you are right. It is a bit of a weird thing when the doctor tells you that there's a possibility that you might lose this child even after birth. But once you've gone through it, you've actually experienced the whole thing of losing a child. When you plan to have the next child, you know what that means to its entirety. I lost Usmanga when he was 7 months in his mom's womb. It came as a shock to me, probably one of the most devastating days of my life.
Sure.
Because first time being a dad, I told everyone I'd celebrated. I was ready to be a father. I had many conversations with different fathers and mothers about
in preparation.
So mentally I'd prepared myself to be a father, and it does sometimes, in fact, it is disappointing to me when people don't want to acknowledge the fact that no matter how many months into the pregnancy, the mental preparation from the person who's carrying the child and from the person who's the father of the child is literally life changing.
Did your doctor give you a heads up as if to say, don't invest emotionally 100% until, so you were never told this?
No. So it came as a shock to me. Because, I mean, as I said earlier, you prepare yourself to be a father and you don't see, or a mother, and you don't see anything going wrong. It's almost like you're ready. So in your head, everything is going to happen perfectly. You even give the child a name. To some extent, you even start buying clothes. You start budgeting differently. It changes your life entirely. So I didn't have the opportunity to be told that there's a possibility that, you know, you might not have your baby boy playing with you at the age of five, or you might, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have that. And perhaps that's one of the reasons why it made it even hurt more. I can't even express in words how painful that day was for me when I went to the hospital. I just thought maybe it was one of those checkups and a few complications that can't be fixed. But when the doctor came and told me that it's a miscarriage, literally, like, I felt my heart sink to the ground. I just, you didn't know how to navigate through that situation. As a matter of fact, I still feel pain from that even today. But of course, I do try different ways to celebrate the fact that I am not a father of only one child. I'm a father of two children. That for me, and that narrative reminds me that I need to acknowledge that that was the first time I became a father, but also I am a father. Smanga is a name. Smanga, from a spiritual perspective, for me, was a human being. You know, like, I don't see it as just a nothing, for lack of a better word. So the 15th of October is obviously Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. And I was really fascinated when I started digging up on this, because One, it right. gives you a sense of community. On this day, we there's a campaign that's attached to it called International Waiver Light. So by lighting a candle just after 7 p.m. to honor all the babies that were gone too soon, you light the candle for just about an hour to continue the wave of light across all the time zones covering the globe. For me, that is beautiful, and it really reminds me that I'm not alone.
Yeah.
But also it motivates me to speak on the matter, you know, because a lot of people may have lost kids, but have held back in having conversations about it because, one, maybe it hurts too much, but maybe, two, because of the stigmas associated to it. Like, people are very quick to judge the fact that, oh, it was, if you lost the child maybe one month in, it wasn't a human being. People are very easy to say that. And I think days like this, or the 15th of October, are to remind people that whether it's a month in, or 7 months in, or even whether the kid is like 3 months or whatever, that still needs to be celebrated, and that still needs to be acknowledged. People, you know, had invested emotions towards the birth of this child and being parents, you know.
It's so funny because my experience was diametrically opposed to yours. I thought there was something wrong with me because I wasn't feeling parental. So for the entire 9 months of the mom's pregnancy, I was kind of jealous of her because she got to carry this, and there was a biological and a physical connection that I wasn't feeling. And I felt, when do I start feeling like a dad? When do I start having these feelings like everything feels completely normal? I just feel like there's going to eventually be another entity here that I'll have to navigate life with. I didn't have this father-child connection bond or whatever. I literally thought right up until birth that there was something wrong with me. Subsequently, I found out that it is quite common.
Yeah.
And then after, you know, a little bit of time with this little human being, that's when the connection happens. And that was the life-changing instance for me. And I think, you know, our stories are very, very different. I think I'm very thankful that the pediatrician and the doctors and the surgeons have all placed on me the importance of just being aware that anything can happen within the first couple of months, and even the first couple of weeks post-birthing. And I, once after about 3 or 4 days, in actual fact, I could say from the moment I held my child, I thought, okay, oh, this is the thing that they're talking about. This is the thing.
Yeah.
If anything had happened after that, I think, I don't know how I would have coped with that kind of loss. And I think that's only would be the area of me experiencing what you have explained to me as far as a real sense of loss here. And I mean, 6-7 months is really, really deep into term as well.
Yeah.
And as you said, you know, you're preparing baby rooms and clothes and events and all of that kind of stuff. Let me ask you, when Chrissy Teigen and John Legend very publicly and photographically told their story of miscarriage, what did you think when you woke up and you saw that story?
At first, I was sort of like, that was not necessary. But at the same time, we all mourn differently. Mm. We live in a new time and age where, of course, celebrities in some way have that pressure and obligation to share every second and minute of their lives. It may come from a perspective of creating awareness. It may come from a perspective of trying to get attention. I don't really know the headspace of John Legend and his madam, but I was a bit like, I wouldn't have done it like that. When it happened, it was a matter of, I need to pull myself within myself, and I need to emotionally deal with what has happened. I had to traditionally do certain things to bring Smanga home, because obviously he passed away in his mum's womb in the hospital. And from a spiritual perspective, you need to call your child to come to the main house, which for me is at Emandeni. So, I mean, I'm not very judgmental on how they arranged it and shared the information to the public, but I would not have done it that way. I think it's different from person to person. Again, we mourn differently, we grieve differently. But I was very surprised because so when she had the miscarriage, she posted literally the next day. I don't know why, I don't know the reasoning. Perhaps it was, if it was from an awareness perspective, shout out to her for being brave enough to navigate through those hard and painful emotions and still be able to want to see the bigger picture of creating awareness for other people who might have gone through it and who will go through it in the future, to say, yo, just be aware that this is a possibility, you know, that you could lose your child 7 months in, and just prepare yourself for that.
Is it a timing thing for you that you disapprove of Chrissy Teigen and John Legend? Do you think they should have gone through their mourning process and then shared it with people? Or did you think, do you think they were under no obligation to share this? Well, I'm sure everyone would have thought something was amiss. We knew that she was pregnant for the longest time. Yeah. What is it that just didn't sit well with you?
One, it was the timing, but also I didn't expect her to succumb to public pressure to share such information that's so confidential so early after it had happened. Again, we're different. I would have done differently, but obviously they chose to do it their own way by sharing the information so soon to the public.
Mm.
But also, I mean, Darren, that might have been one of the ways she found some sort of healing, you know.
Sort of closure, yeah.
I wouldn't even say closure, but
how to process it.
How to process it. And maybe she needed to tell people so that people are aware of the pain that she's going through so that she can have a supportive structure, you know. Maybe she was seeking support from her fans and people who've gone through the same situation or who might relate to the situation of losing a child.
You know, when I saw the story, I didn't even open it. For the longest time, I've never been interested in celebrities' children. As a personality myself, I keep my child out of the limelight as well.
She'll
make a decision later on in her life if she wants to, you know, venture down the route of you know, celebrity. But I've never been interested in it. So it's the most amazing thing. You and I both know, as soon as the baby pics come out for, you know, the prince and princess or for Beyonce or whoever, it is the most clicked on. It just goes viral. News. Everyone wants to be a part of it. It's not a phenomenon that I have personally experienced. So when I saw this, instantly I thought, wow, this is different. And it took a while, like you, to process for me to go, why? You're literally showing pictures inside the hospital the moment you're hearing what could be some of the most tragic news ever.
Worst, yeah.
Yeah. And then after a while, I thought to myself, not too long afterwards, within the same day, I thought, actually, it's quite brave because of what you said earlier.
Mm.
There is a stigma attached to people who have experienced a miscarriage, you know, and people also, they worry that how you're processing it and else they'll put you at arm's length. But by two celebrities letting us know and letting us experience firsthand what they had gone through, I was kind of like, well, you may be breaking down some of that stigma now and letting people realize that it happens to everyone. Everyone runs the risk of an infant mortality, infancy loss, and we're no different to everyone else. We share every other part of our life with you want to see, so you might as well join us for this one as well. And they might have, in that one small gesture, have done more to create awareness for this phenomenon known as infancy loss. They might have done more in that photo shoot than infancy loss awareness day or month could do in a decade.
Mm. I don't even think they perhaps even realized that they've done such a positive to campaigning for, you know, people who've lost kids. I suppose another thing, just thinking of the whole situation, is that they were very public about the pregnancy to begin with. They shared every moment of it. And to be honest, if I was a fan of Chrissy Teigen or John Legend, I would have felt a disconnect if they didn't tell me. But
yeah,
I still stand on what I said earlier, that I did feel it was too soon and I would have not done it that way. But a big shout out to them, and I hope she's healing from the whole experience. And, you know, from a perspective of us being fathers, it's the pain that you feel. Just imagine how much more pain the mom is feeling. You know, 9 months in, the baby's already starting to kick, which for many people is a sign of communication. There's a relationship being established when the child is in mother's womb. So to lose that just suddenly, and sometimes doctors don't even give the right explanations or the full explanations as to what happened. It's just like, this happens, and you don't know what that means. You don't know how to comprehend this happens. I was literally talking to this person. I could imagine for a mom how hectic it is. Now, Smanga's mom and I have tried to ensure that we never forget that we have two children. We celebrate the birthday. We visit the gravesite. We do the traditional stuff that needs to be done. In fact, this coming weekend, we're going to be doing something to remember him from a traditional perspective. And I think that is important. You know, you need to acknowledge the fact that that was a child, that was a human being. The best way for me that I've navigated through the whole situation is acknowledging the fact that that was a child and acknowledging him as a human being and acknowledging the fact that it's important for me to celebrate him the same way I would celebrate Xander, who is now 3 years old. So I think that's very important.
And as Xander gets older, do you communicate to him that he had a brother?
Of course. I think that's very important. Now, from a traditional perspective, one of the main reasons why it's so important for me not to forget is because when someone passes on in my culture, in the Zulu culture, they join the ancestors. Now, the people who are alive, and there's a huge connection between ancestors and people who are alive. And so from a traditional perspective, you need to honor that by maybe slaughtering an animal of some sort so that in the Zulu terms, he's not hungry where he is. Because when an ancestor or someone who's passed on is hungry and is not being taken care of by the people who are alive, they tend to come and start causing issues for the people that are alive. Like, one of the things I've tried to do is protect Xander from that, because I don't want a situation where Xander is not well or not doing great at life because Smanga is not being fed from a traditional perspective. I don't know whether I explained that properly, but
no, yeah, that makes sense. I just wonder, there's two things I want to ask you, and you can answer them obviously in your own time. One, do you think you felt the loss of this miscarriage more so than most men in pregnancies? And then I want to ask you, who was there to support you while you were grieving?
Yeah, Darren, I think you being probably the best dad that I know, and of course from the eyes of Mouse, when you heard you being a father, you trained yourself, your mindset changed, and you told yourself that I'm going to be committed to raising Mouse. Some fathers are not as committed, even when their children don't pass on. Some fathers are not committed to playing the role of father or being a dad or whatever the case may be. So from my perspective, I'm not saying I felt the pain more, but because I was ready to be a father, I had changed my life narrative around being not just being swoo, I was someone's father. I'm about to be someone's father. So that narrative made it even hurt more when it didn't happen. When the miscarriage happened. So I, of course, had my parents. I also had my madam at the time, and to sort of be there with me and mourn and navigate through the situation.
Madam, is that a term of endearment when you say madam?
Madam, as in like
the frog.
The lady. You know what I mean? Like I use
the mother of the child.
The mother of the child. The madam.
Okay.
So I obviously had her. I had my parents, and I had everyone from the extended family around to assist in navigating through that situation.
Your friends and colleagues that were around you. I need to know. Like, women seem to be more empathetic in most cases, but did you find that you had empathetic men that were not in your circle of friends and colleagues that were there?
I mean, I did get a few people saying, yo, hadi spadi, like, sorry about that. But because for me, relationships are not easy to form. So at the time, I didn't have someone who mattered to me that much that when they said, I'm going to support you, bro, that it mattered. So, I mean, people might have come through and said, sorry, man, we heard about your loss or whatever, but it didn't matter at the time. The only person I really needed to make sure we were there for each other was Smanga's mom. For me, you know, her carrying my child obviously presented emotional attachment, and because I love her and she is the person that we went through this with, it mattered for me more that we are on each other's side. We're there to support each other. We're there to have that conversation. My mission now, as someone who's gone through the entire experience, is to preach as much as possible and to create an environment where people don't feel like they're alone when they go through that. There are many thousands of individuals and people who've gone through miscarriages, who've gone through stillbirths, who've gone through the death of a newborn. So my mission, and I'm very open about it. And I remember I was doing a Kerry's Couch and we were having a conversation.
I remember talking about that.
I tell people all the time, I have two kids. And people always ask, like, but we don't see pictures of the other child. But no, passed on. But I never, ever want to find myself in a situation where I'm not acknowledging the fact that I have two kids. Smanga and Zanda are my two kids.
It's a fact. You're a fascinating case study, because I wonder how many psychotherapists would say some things you need to let go of and some things you need to be mindful of, and this is a part of your daily mindset. And for you to be carrying this, I wonder what a psychoanalyst would say about how you're coping.
Yeah. No, man, I want to say this in a way that will make more sense. I am a father. Like, even if I didn't have Zanda, if I didn't have my second kid, Zanda, I would still, Darren, go around telling people that I am a father, because that's how committed I was to being a Smanga's dad.
Yeah.
And I suppose for me, it's also another way of healing through the pain that I felt or am still feeling. I need, in order for me to be able to live the next day, or to be okay for the next day and to have moments of happiness or whatever, I need to acknowledge the fact that I have two kids. I need it. It would be, I hear from your perspective that maybe you're fascinated about understanding, like, why, but, like,
yeah,
I need it. Like,
yeah,
if someone were to tell me that that was not a child, I would be broken.
Yeah.
I would be broken for someone to take that away from me. So I think maybe it's a coping mechanism, but I need it. I genuinely, wholeheartedly, I can't say I'm not a father of two. I can't. Yeah. Like, it doesn't even make sense to me.
From a slightly more academic point of view, for in your mind's eye, when are a new mom and dad parents? Is it at the moment of conception? Is it a month later when you realize that you're pregnant? Is it at a month or 6 weeks or 3 months into the development? When, at what point are you parents?
When you find out, when the baby's conceived, for me, that is when you become a parent.
We don't find out the very moment of conception. Sometimes you have a weekend out.
Yes, of course. I mean, I would say when the mum, whether it's a week into it or whatever, she finds out she's pregnant and she knows that there's something growing in her. From that moment on, I believe that you are officially a parent, because you would start doing things differently. Like, the way that she takes care of her health would obviously change.
Yeah.
The way that, you know, she's obviously no longer allowed to, you know.
Yeah, she's got to stop smoking, stop drinking. And
so that narrative, that for me is when your parenthood begins. And it's very important for you to have the father in the mix as a supportive structure, and vice versa for you two to be there for each other. So that you almost raise the child together, even though it's still in the mother's womb, you know? So for me, I would say when you find out that you're pregnant, that's when your parenthood begins.
Let me ask you this question. What if you're a silly young couple who had too much to drink? You don't, not even in a relationship. You find out that, you know, one of you made the other one pregnant, and you don't want to go down the route of fatherhood. You barely know each other. So you might not even know each other's names.
Oh.
What is your stance on maybe, you know, the morning after pill, or, you know, a visit 6 weeks down the line to by Marie Stopes?
I mean, Darren, like, I've said this before, right? If one member of the team that played a role in the baby making process doesn't want to be a part of that mix, I understand. And I think that needs to be respected, because some people are just not ready. Some people just don't want to. There's many reasons why people would not want to have a kid together. Mm. Also, another thing that I'm always big on is the liberation of the females from that perspective. The mom feels like, if the lady that feels like she doesn't want to have this baby, she mustn't. It's her body, and she mustn't if she doesn't want to.
Of course, she would have to have this conversation with the father.
Yeah, for sure. You'd have to have the conversation with the other party in the mix. But the lady has every right, just from a physical perspective, to say, I don't want to have this baby. Of course, it must be in the right time frame that it doesn't affect her health going forward and affect her from not being able to have kids going forward. I mean, that's on her to make. as a decision. But being telling yourself
in, parents, in your mind's eye, would you have a cutoff? Would you have a cutoff month? Like first month, second month, third month, fourth month? You just go, okay, guys, this is too far gone. Irrespective of whether the father disapproves, I'm having this child on my own. Is there in your mind's eye a cutoff date?
From a biological perspective, I'm sure there is a cutoff month where you simply can't have an abortion. You simply can't get, what's the term that society uses, get rid of?
Terminate pregnancy.
Yeah, terminate, yeah. So from a biological perspective, obviously there's certain time frames that you can and cannot do. But for me, Darren, being as I said earlier, you are a parent from the moment you find out. Mm-hmm. You can either choose to be a parent or mm-hmm. you can choose not to be a parent. At the end of the day, you have something in you that is possibly going to be another human being. And I'm not going to cast judgment on people who decide to abort or terminate or whatever. It's totally up to you. Just like how some people choose to drink a certain drink as opposed to another. It's totally up to you what you want to do. But for me, being a parent is more than just giving a sperm to an egg. It's a spiritual thing. It's an emotional thing. It's a mental thing. So
It is obviously a very contentious issue. Some people might even argue that on November the 3rd, the U.S. elections literally pivot on this subject. The Supreme Court nominee, Amy Coney Barrett, is a conservative who will turn the Supreme Court to a 6-3 conservative to liberal judges. And the electorate, the people that are backing Donald Trump, want to see abortion made illegal, to take the right away from the mother to choose at any point, right, from the point of conception all the way up to 8.5 months. They want to take that right away. And a massive number of the votes that could see Donald Trump go another 4 years is pivoted on these people that don't believe that a woman has a right to terminate. Now, you and I can go to and from where we feel at what point termination is civilized or not. You know, most of the puritanicals that are voting for Donald Trump will say from the moment of conception, and you shouldn't even be partaking of the act if you are not in a happily married relationship. That's their standpoint. Whereas the reality of it is people go out, people socialize, people copulate all the time, and accidents happen. And some people are too young and not financially ready, and some people didn't even choose to have that process thrust upon them and might choose not to be too pregnant, whatever it is. People feel very, very strongly about this. And I know that Master's mother and I, prior to deciding that we wanted to be parents, we had thought, listen, we better be safe. And we've gone to the chemist and we've gotten what they call the morning after pill, but it's basically a chemical that just makes sure that that forces the cycle, flushes out any possibility that there might. There is an opportunity. There was a possibility that I could have been a dad a lot earlier than I did, but I wasn't financially, mentally, maturely prepared for it and had made decisions to end that or to make sure that there wasn't
a pregnancy doesn't continue.
That a pregnancy doesn't continue. You harbor no ill feelings towards me or people like me, do you?
No, not at all, man. Biologically speaking, there are stages to a baby becoming a baby. And I do feel that the decision must come from both individuals. What you want to do must be what you guys agree on. I don't have a problem with people like that. I mean, here's a worst case scenario. As you said earlier, some people are raped. And I can imagine that coming from that experience of being raped and someone having sex with you without your permission, I understand how one would say, I don't want to have that child because they don't want to be reminded of that experience. Mm-hmm. But I also understand why someone would be like, that's half of who I am. Mm-hmm. And continue with the child, of course, without the father in the situation because the situation doesn't allow. I understand those two dynamics and I understand those two decisions in the same way that I would understand if, you know, you use a condom without protection and boom, you get pregnant and you're like, oh, just to make sure, I mean, not boom, you get pregnant, but just to make sure that you don't get pregnant on morning after pill, just to make sure that everything is flushed out or whatever. I understand that as well, and I respect it. I think for me, it's the decision that needs to be taken by both parties because they've both obviously had a play in the creation of the child. Whether you want to be preemptive about the solutions you want to take, that's totally up to you, and I'm not going to cast any judgments on people who make those decisions.
I think that's kind of interesting because you and I are coming, we do come at this from two very, very different points. I come at it from a very scientific, almost impersonal, academic point of view. You're a lot more spiritual, a lot more, I would say, perhaps even sensitive. I am when it comes to this topic, but I think we're both agreed that no person or institution can propose to take away the right of the woman to decide whether she wants to have a child or not.
100%. 100%. That should be her decision. I don't want to create drama or say something that I'm going to be held on from a negative perspective, but I'm not saying that's negative either way, but it's more of the mum's decision to make, if that makes any sense. Like, she's going to carry the baby. She's going to have to take care of the baby from the period of birth, even more so than the man. So I feel like the mum would have to, the lady would have to make that decision for herself and her life, because her life is about to change. Now, men, not to say that men are not as invested or men are not involved in raising children as much as women, but, you know, it's more life-changing for a woman. Because of the biological, from a biological sense, from a spiritual sense, from all the different senses you can possibly imagine when it comes to having a child. I think the woman probably takes on more of, not even, the right word is not burden.
Gravitas? Momentum?
Yeah, more of the gravitas, yeah, more of the gravitas, yeah.
Of the impact.
Yeah, there's more impact towards the woman than for the man when it comes to pregnancy, of course. So I think she, you can't take that away from a human being to decide what they want to do. I don't feel like you should that you can.
You know, I suppose for myself, here's the thing. When I had to make a decision with the mom, no, we're not ready to have children. And we had the conversation to and fro. And later down the line, let's work on our careers. Let's make sure that, we make sure that we have a home and an environment that is conducive to raising a child. By the way, not a cheap venture, which I'm sure you understand.
Not at all.
It is not, you know, someone did the math the other day, and it could cost you something somewhere in the realm. It's going to, if you want to have a child today, it's going to cost you between four and 6 million rand to get your child from 0 to 18. So, and that's the minimum. It's not cheap. And I feel sorry. I really, my heart goes out to the people out there that feel from the moment of conception, it's out of my hands. I have to do this. And you have youngsters who maybe don't have a job and have no prospects of a future. Maybe even the father's not even present. And you have these young people who feel an obligation now to do the right. And I feel that a conversation has to be had with this human that I feel you are bringing a child into abject poverty or unpreparedness is more irresponsible than, you know, having a morning after pill or a procedure within the first 2 or 3 months. For me, that is more irresponsible.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
And it's hard to have this conversation because you and I, and you specifically, you know, you live in a world where you were preparing to bring a life into this world and you experienced the tragedy of infant loss. And yet you are able to have this conversation. So hats off to you.
Yeah. Again, I'm obviously looking at this from an emotional perspective because I am a very sensitive person. From a spiritual perspective, because I'm very much, I do feel like I'm connected to people who have, you know, passed on or whatever. So my angling may be different, and I'm not saying that, you know, how people have done with the situation before, that I'm judging that. Again, it's totally up to you whether you want to be a parent or not, but you must look at the circumstances that evolve around being a parent and how the child is going to be raised and all of that. So it's a, you need to calculate for yourself as a person whether or not you are going to be able to be the best father under whatever circumstances that you are in, or yeah, mom, whatever it is.
Well, Sporat, it was lekker having this conversation with you. It's and there's so many parts about this conversation. I think we might highlight the fact that a lot of people out there might not know that men actually do sit and talk about these things. People would think, oh, it's Infancy Loss Awareness Day or month. Let's get a woman on. It's like, why? Men experience the loss as much. Men are as invested in our children as women, especially today. And if anything more, if you're a man and you're not as invested, you need to check whether you want to be a father or contribute in that way. But at the same time as well, I am saddened by the fact that there are so many people out there that are not being made aware that pregnancy loss, infancy loss is a real reality that you need to be informed of prior to, or at least during pregnancy. So many people who have invested in this and like you had dreams of the things that you do with parenting, and to have that taken away from you so suddenly, and you're not without any preparation, is a little bit of a travesty. It's a little bit of it's a tragedy. It's devastating, and you experienced that firsthand. If there's one thing that people take away from our conversation, well, there's two things. Men do talk about this, and infancy loss and pregnancy loss is a reality. It's a biological fact, and there's nothing you can do about it, and you need to prepare yourself for the possibility, not the inevitability, but the possibility of it, just to prepare yourself for any possible outcomes.
And of course, if you have lost a child, whether it was a miscarriage, stillbirth, SIDS, or just the death of a newborn, like for me, it's important to remind people that you are not alone, and it's important to have conversations with people that you trust about it, so you can navigate through that pain, because there's nothing worse than suppressing pain, because it comes out, it creeps up on you when you least expected it, in different forms. And I really, really don't want that for anyone, because it has for me when it comes to suppressing my emotions and pains, and I wouldn't want that for anyone else. So let's have more conversations about it. Let's unite, because some of us don't have control of what the outcome is when it comes to pregnancy. But as people, we can certainly be together in navigating through the pain.
Absolutely. And now you know that at least here on East Coast Radio, all the way from breakfast through to drive, you have two men as well as the woman that are empathetic to your plight. Whatever your challenge may be, you have ears that will listen and hearts that are open.
Stacey and Jay Spoon.